This is not our normal midweek boost, and Nate, I think, mentioned that earlier. Normally on midweek boost, for those of you who don't normally come, we have, it's more of a teaching service, and tonight it's more of a flowing service, flowing with what God has for us. And so I'm glad you're here. Hope you're okay with that. But since you're still here, I guess you are. Praise God. I'm going to share, and then I'm going to turn it over to somebody else. But I just wanted to share a little bit. We just had a weekend here of a bold venture. It was called a women's event. And it would have been pertinent to a man if he'd been here. It wasn't just so, you know, we didn't discuss fingernails and ponytails and anything like that. So you would have been okay if you had been a man here. But on Friday morning, I guess, I spoke, and I was supposed to speak, or I did speak, on becoming a bold leader. And I just wanted to share something with that, because all during praise and worship, this one thing kept coming back up. And I think there's people here tonight that need to hear this. And I just want to share this one part. And I'm not going to take time to read through the scripture. But in the first several chapters of the book of Acts, it talks about the birth of the church and how the church was formed and how this, the very beginnings, if you remember Acts chapter 1, before Jesus ascended, he told them to gather in the upper room and to wait there for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And as the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, some things happened. There was a mighty rushing wind of the Holy Spirit blew in, and they all began to speak with other tongues. And then it says that they were out in the streets there, so it blew them out. I always like to say that the Holy Spirit, when he blew up in them, he blew them out of the room. And that's why I know that the church is not supposed to be in four walls. That we were at the very beginning, the first thing the Holy Spirit did was blow them out of their four walls. So church doesn't just happen in here. This isn't, the church is the people, and we're to go out. And so, I mean, we see that from the very beginning. But something interesting happened as soon as they went out and the people saw them, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. These people are speaking in languages that they don't know. And some of them were acting funny because they were trying to figure out, are these people drunk? What's happening? And Peter, who was one of the apostles, the one that Matt read about a few minutes ago when he received the offering, the one that Jesus sent out fishing because he had been a fisherman when Jesus called him to follow him. When Peter saw what was going on, Peter jumped up and began to interpret for all of them by way of Joel's words what was going on. He just in that moment saw what was going on and began to explain what was happening to the people. And he preached his first message. And he ended up preaching the gospel, and a whole bunch of people got saved. How many people got saved that day? 3,000 people got saved that day. Men. 3,000 men got saved that day. So it was probably 20,000 people, because anywhere there's 3,000 men, there's 6,000 women. Okay, never mind. Just teasing. So anyway, a bunch of people got saved. But okay, so then that happened. And then we start in Acts chapter 3. And as Acts chapter 3 starts, Peter and John were going up into the temple to pray. They were just going to prayer meeting, kind of like we're going to have here tomorrow night at 6. They were just going to pray. And as they went in to pray, they saw a man who had been laying outside the gate there of the temple, who had been there many years. I guess he came there to beg every day. He was 40 years old and had been lame since birth. And he's laying there. And the guy looked at Peter and John because he was used to people giving. He was a beggar. He was used to people giving him money. And they said to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk." And the Bible says the man got up and began to walk and leap. And praise God, he was supernaturally, miraculously healed. Awesome thing. And then the people got in a big turmoil. And oh my goodness, and they started running from everywhere because everybody knew this guy. They'd been seeing him there. And they ran in to see what's going on. And this guy, they wanted to see this miracle. And when they did, Peter did something again. He got up and he began to preach. And again, he preached the gospel. And then it goes on and tells what happens. Really interesting. This first several chapters of Acts are action-packed and very interesting. But here's the point I wanted to bring out. It is this point that on the day of Pentecost, when all that hullabaloo had broken out by the Holy Spirit, no one stood up and said, "I believe it's time for Brother Peter to come forward and minister." No one said that. It was just, from what, if you read it, it just seems like there was like chaos. And in the middle of it, Peter saw what was going on, I believe, by the Holy Spirit. He saw this is what Joel had prophesied about. And he just got up, and I think he just, in the loudest fisherman's voice he could find, and probably stood up some, you know, if he was here, he might would have stood up here, you know, just try to get up the high place where people could see him, you know, just to get to the highest point. We own this one, Eddie, so I can stand on it. Some of these chairs are borrowed. I didn't stand on the borrowed chairs, just the ones we own. But, you know, he went somewhere and he just took advantage of that opportunity that presented itself. Now, was Peter the only one that could have done that? I mean, I don't think so. I think there were probably other ones there who may have realized what was going on, but for whatever reason, Peter was the one that got up and started talking. He's the one who seized the opportunity. And then I believe that Peter and John weren't the only ones that went by the leper. I mean, not the leper, but the lame man at the gate. But Peter and John are the only ones that looked at him and said, "Here, rise up and walk." And then when all those people gathered there in Solomon's porch there in the temple, when all that was going on, and, you know, people were rushing in to see what's going on, and so a big crowd had gathered, Peter is the one who stood up. Again, nobody said, "Now I believe we need to have a word from Brother Peter." Nobody, you know, went and got a megaphone and gave it to him or brought him a mic. None of that happened. He just jumped up and started doing it and commanded the crowd's attention and started preaching the gospel. And so what I see there is Peter saw opportunities and he took advantage of them. He saw an opening, and I don't think he was the only one. I think a lot of people probably saw, "Hey, here's an opportunity." I think there were probably several people that recognized this is what Joel had prophesied about, or, you know, this would be a good time to preach the gospel to these people, or this would be, you know, but Peter's the one who did it. Thank God for Peter. Now, how this applies to you tonight is, I believe that there are opportunities before you. And if you're not facing them today, you will be very shortly. And you can do what Peter did and take advantage of them, or you can do what some of the other guys did and wait for somebody else to speak up. And I'm going to tell you right now, you need to find your voice and speak up. Because God needs your voice. God needs you to speak in situations. He needs you to take advantage of an opportunity. You know, it's like, I think I shared with you one time, a friend of mine from Australia, one of the ladies that I've met through working over there, she tells the story about when she was in her house and a repairman had come in to fix her dishwasher. And she's just making small talk with him and saying, "You know what, how you doing," or whatever. And he immediately begins to say to her, "You know, there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more to life than, you know, I go home at night and I watch TV. I fall asleep on the sofa. I wake up, I get up, take a shower, go to work, come home, eat a little dinner, fall asleep on the sofa watching TV." He said, "Then all weekend, you know, I just take care of the house." And then, you know, there has got to be more to life than this. He's begging for the gospel, but she won't give it to him. And she realized, I mean, when she related this to me, she realized, "Man, I missed an opportunity." But it's not just those opportunities to share the gospel. These are the ones that we've been talking about. But there are all kinds of opportunities in life. And I know that there are people here tonight that you have it on your heart. Some of you ladies who were here for the weekend, God stirred some things on your heart. And I want to tell you, don't wait for somebody to walk up and say, "You know, let me hand you a microphone. Let me make something of you. Let me make a place for you." Peter, he made his own place because he took advantage of the opportunity God gave him. And all of us, you know, nobody asked me and Matt to start a church. Nobody called us up and said, "You know, we want you to start a church in Augusta." Now, thank God that sometimes that happens to people, but that didn't happen to us. And in fact, what took us so long to start the church was we couldn't figure out how we were going to be ordained. Who's going to ordain us? So we actually started the church before we were actually ordained. We actually pastored for 4 weeks before we were even ordained. But we had an opportunity, and we took advantage of the opportunity. God was stirring something, and so we made a way. And I'm saying to you tonight, there's people, many people in here tonight, you need to start taking some steps towards what's in your heart to do and not wait for it to, one day it's going to open up. And when they, when people recognize and they notice and they make this opportunity for me, when somebody calls me, when somebody asks me to do it, when somebody, you know, and we use that for an excuse. And we sometimes think that that's what an opportunity looks like, but I'm going to tell you, rarely is that what an opportunity looks like. Most often, an opportunity looks like something you just notice, there's an opening of some sort, and you just step in there. You're just the first one to jump up and start hollering, or whatever it is. And so there's people in here tonight, probably a lot of people, there's something in your heart, and you need to just start moving towards it and take some steps and not wait until, you know, it opens up for you. And when you start moving towards it, everybody will look. When Peter started talking, everybody gave him their attention. It wasn't long. By Acts chapter 5, Peter was fully in charge of the church, the new church, by Acts chapter 5. If you read by Acts chapter 5, he was fully in charge. But nobody said, hey, I think we should put Peter in charge. That's not recorded in there. They didn't get together and elect him. There's no word from the Holy Spirit where God spoke through a prophet or from heaven and said, behold, the apostle Peter shall lead thee. There's nothing like that. All we see is Peter stepping up and stepping out. So there's your invitation. If you've been waiting on an invitation, there it is. And Nate, here's yours.
That was a great segue, but according to your illustration, nobody handed Peter a microphone. I was clearly expecting somebody from this area to like jump up and grab this and say, it's my moment. It's my time to act on what the Holy Spirit's telling me to do. I often think about Peter. You know, Peter's a cool guy. He's got this, you know, he's kind of like a, like one bad mamma jamma. You know what I'm saying? A lot of other phrases pop through my mind, but we're in church. Just couldn't say those. But we think about Peter in terms of his, a lot of times we think about Peter in terms of his boisterous personality. He was loud. A lot of times he spoke without thinking. A lot of times he acted without thinking, right? You remember how he cut off Malchus's ear? You know, immediately the first thought that Jesus probably had was like, Peter, what were you thinking, man? Now I got to fix this mess that you've just made. And there literally is a mess right here. But I thought about this. Peter, I don't think he did what he did in that moment because of his personality. And I think many of us, myself included, we use our personalities as an excuse for not doing what God's really called us to do. I'm an introvert by my personality. And so it's easy for me to say, well, I'm just going to hold back. If I'm in a crowded room, I'm just going to sit and be by myself. Let everybody else minister to somebody. Let everybody else talk to somebody. But I don't think Peter did what he did because of his personality. In fact, I can infer from Scripture, because when Peter was confronted about his knowledge of Jesus prior to the day of Pentecost, after Jesus' crucifixion, he was pretty timid, right? You guys remember that? He was really timid. He wasn't acting in terms of personality in those moments. You're like, the normal Peter would have said, yeah, I've been hanging out with Jesus. Yeah, didn't you see me cut that dude's ear off? I mean, didn't you hear about that? Yeah, I'm that guy. But no, he denied Jesus. He denied ever knowing him. He denied ever having any contact with him. No, I don't know him. I've never seen him, never heard of him. I'm not that guy in those moments. But then something happened, right? the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit took Peter, who, yeah, he had a boisterous personality, at least we can assume that based on his actions and his attitude in the scripture. Yeah, he had that, but when it really counted, did he act on it? And it wasn't until he was filled with the Holy Spirit that he had the boldness to step up and do what needed to be done in that moment that led to these magnificent results and led to what we experience today, even as a result of Peter stepping out because of the Holy Spirit's empowerment in his life. And so my encouragement to you tonight is, number one, don't let your personality be a hindrance to the call of God on your life and what he has for you to do in the next day, week, the next month, the next year, the next 5 years. Don't let your personality be a hindrance to that, and don't let it be an excuse. I'm preaching to myself here. Amen, brother. I receive that. And number two, when you see an opportunity like that, don't back down. Instead, pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Receive the empowerment from the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying, you know, because that would draw even more attention to yourself. You get up in front of everybody and start praying in tongues. I'm saying, like, get alone, get quiet. I've had that opportunity before, not long ago, back in June, actually. Matter of fact, after the day of Pentecost that we celebrate here, I was speaking at a service that I'm a part of called Electric Cathedral, and it's a gathering of 20 to 30 somethings. And it takes place at Sacred Heart. If you're my friend on Facebook, you see me post about it all the time. But it's really cool because right now there's 9 partner churches that are involved, and we collaboratively put this thing together. So I had the opportunity after 3 months of having these services that I was going to be the person to speak next. So the day before, I preached here at church and gave what I believe the Lord had for me to give about the power of the Holy Spirit. And I had no idea that the very next day I would be challenged on what I had just spoken about the day before. Because I walk in there and I'm giving a message to people who aren't like, you know, you, who don't know me. And so I'm completely out of my comfort zone. Completely. I'm terrified. I'm shaking. I want to go to the bathroom and barf. That's how, really, my stomach's turning. I'm like, man, I gotta give myself a pep talk. I'm like, come get it together, man. What's going on? And I mean, I had a few of my friends really encouraged me before the service, and like, hey man, you're going to do great. No pressure. If you suck, we'll never have you back again. But you'll do fine. So they're really encouraging me. So what I did, and this is, I mean, it's not like a spirit-filled gathering. We're not praying in tongues every month or anything like that. I don't know how many people that even come to this thing know about the Holy Spirit's operation in the lives of believers who welcome and accept him. So what I did is I went to the bathroom and prayed in the Holy Spirit, prayed in tongues. I just kind of psyched myself up before the service. And it worked. I didn't chicken out. I gave a message that night and 3 people got saved. Praise God. I mean, it's a few short of 3,000, but 3 people got saved and every single soul counts. Amen. So I want to encourage you to get yourself together. Take some time. The Holy Spirit's dealing with you to step out of your comfort zone, or you're in an environment where it's called upon, not necessarily anybody calling upon you, but the Holy Spirit's beckoning you on the inside for you to take some time and say, okay, I know what to do in this moment. I need to receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit because he's going to enable me to do something I couldn't do in and of myself. And that is the only way that you and I are going to succeed in ministering to people, because I can read a ton of books. I have read a ton of books, And I could, you know, I could stand up here and read excerpts from books, and I've done that. But the thing that's going to make the most difference in your life is the Holy Spirit speaking to you at that very moment. And the thing that's going to make the most difference in somebody else's life that's around you is the Holy Spirit speaking through you in that moment. And so we have to be sensitive to His leading, and we have to know His voice for ourselves in order to flow with Him. We have to know His voice, and so it's so important that we learn to hear His voice. And the only way we can do that is through spending time in His presence. Just like tonight, just like you're here at church on a Wednesday night, just like you have an opportunity to come during prayer tomorrow night or pray on your own. I mean, God doesn't live here at Good News Church, right? Don't let anybody make you feel guilty or condemned if you don't show up for a certain thing. But spend time with God in His presence where you are. Because He lives in you, right? You are the house of God. And so wherever I go, He goes. And He's more than just my buddy. He's my Savior. He's my healer. He's my Redeemer. He's my friend. He's the one who ministers in me and through me. And He does the same for you. Amen. So find your voice. And find the Holy Spirit's voice in you. Well, let's pray for a moment. Father, I thank You for the Holy Spirit and His work in our lives. Thank You that so many times when we're outside of our comfort zone or outside of our element, that the Holy Spirit knows exactly what to do. He knows what to say. He knows how to say it. And so, Father, I pray for each person here that we would be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, sensitive to Your voice as You endeavor to use us to minister to others, to speak life, to speak truth, to speak grace, and to love people the way You love them, to open our hearts and welcome people just as they are. And Father, we may be timid in and of ourselves, we may be frightened in various situations, but we can depend on the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. And so, Father, even now in these next few moments as we spend time in Your presence, I thank You that You minister to us exactly what we need to hear in these moments, exactly what You need to impart to us. We're open to You. Just say that, I'm open to You, Jesus. I'm open to You, Father. I'm open to You. I'm open to You. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I just wanted to share with you that I feel like God's saying to me, and maybe He's saying it to you too, that the Holy Spirit has gifted each one of us things that are unique to us. And we have to understand that He made us unique all by ourselves. We don't have to compare ourselves to others. I think a lot of times I tend to do that. I see somebody else and they have these gifts and that gift. And, you know, they walk in some kind of really cool ministry. And I think, oh, that would be so cool. I want to do that, you know. But the thing is, God has gifted me for something special. God has gifted you for something special. Yes, our number one job is to share the gospel with people. The power of God unto salvation is the gospel. And that is something that we can always share. If we don't have anything else to share, let's share the gospel, you know. But at the same time, I think there's things that He's created us specific to do. And we have to open our hearts and say, God, what is that thing? What did you create me for? What did you create me to do? What did you create me to walk in? And to own that and just to say, you know, I think a lot of times, like you said, you know, we're waiting on something. We're waiting on someone to say something to us. We're waiting on, you know, that prophet or whatever to have a word for us and tell us, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. But the truth is, we are all supposed to do something, and we're all created to do something. And so we have to step out just in faith. There's been plenty of times where I've stepped out and I didn't have much, but you know, God is there. His Holy Spirit's there. His power is there to help us in any moment, whatever we're doing. And we just have to trust him in that. And we can't compare ourselves to other people. We have to walk in what he's called us to do, because there's power in that. There is great power in what he's called me to do if I just walk into it. There's great power in what he's called you to do if you'll just walk in it. We don't have to be somebody we're not. We're not Peter. I'm not Nate. I'm not Pastor Susie. I can't be. But I can be me. I can be who he's created me to be, and I can walk in that today. And I was praying about, you know, that's one thing that God just really stirred in me this weekend, is that I am called. You can say that. I am called. You are called. And I know a lot of times I feel like, I'm waiting on something, but I am called. I am gifted, and it's going to be as easy as walking out the door, is what he told me. It's going to be easy as waking up in the morning and doing what you normally do, because he's already in us and he's already called us. He's already gifted us. It's not something we're working for. It's not something we're looking around trying to get. It's something that's already in us. The Holy Spirit and the gifts that he's gifted you is already there. All we have to do is just tap into it. How do we tap into it? Pray in the Holy Spirit. That's one thing. Be in his presence. That's another thing. I'm telling you, this weekend he's told me, you know what? You're called and you're loved in just being you. You don't have to do a bunch of stuff to make it happen. You don't have to do a bunch of stuff to make me happy. You don't have to do a bunch of stuff to just walk in your calling. All you have to do is be you, because I created you when you were in your mother's womb with those gifts and those talents. And there is nothing that can take that away from you. There's nothing that the enemy can do to take that away from you. All you have to do is wake up in the morning, be who God called you to be. Don't try to be someone you're not. I'm not going to be that person that maybe I thought I was. I'm going to be me. And we got to trust that. And then when we walk in it, we'll see the fruits of the gifts and the things that he's given us. And so I just want to encourage us all just to trust. And to wake up in the morning and know that you're called. You don't have to wait on a call. You don't have to wait on somebody to say that. You are called. You are gifted. You are anointed. You are anointed with the same power that raised Christ from the dead. You are anointed to set free the captives. You are anointed to bring sight to the blind. You are anointed to heal the sick. You are anointed to be all that God called you to be. And you know what? We need every person. We need every person to do their part, because the body of Christ can't make it unless we do our part. We have to do our part. I'm telling you, we have this whole body and we're disjointed in so many ways. We're just like mutilated, you know, like all separated in so many ways. But we got to come together and just be who he called us to be. I think about Nate and I, you know, there's so many things that he's different in than I am. But God brought us together, and together we are so much better than we are apart. That's the same thing with the body of Christ. If we would just come together and utilize the gifts that's in us, I mean, think about it. Think about how glorious the church would be. How awesome we would see the things that we've been wanting to see if we would work together and not look at somebody else's calling and say, that one's better, I should try to be that. You know, when I was little, I used to think, I'd say, God, can I please just be good at something? Because I was awful at everything. I was the kid that, like, got hit in the head in PE with the basketball because I was so clumsy. I mean, like, that was me. I would be just clumsily walking by and whack, there you go. I tried to play soccer, you know, in PE, and I went to kick the ball, and I fell right on my back. You know, I mean, that's how sporty I was, you know. But the thing is, as I grew up, I realized, you know, I didn't have to be that. God didn't gift me with that, but he did gift me with some things. And as I stepped out and did things that were bigger than me, as I stepped out to do things that were really uncomfortable for me, really not easy for me, those things started stretching and growing inside of me, and they started coming out. And I was like, where did that come from? You know? So there's going to be some things, just like they were talking about, there's going to be some opportunities to step out and to do some things, and you're going to feel really uncomfortable. Yeah, really uncomfortable. But as you step out, the grace and the power and all that you need will be right there behind you, backing you up. You're not alone. You're not doing it by yourself. You're not trying to work things up. It's already there. All we have to do is trust. 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 Lord, we trust you. We trust you right now. We trust you to show us what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to do it, the gifts and the talents and the things that you put in us. God, thank you for bringing them forth. Thank you, Father, for helping us to walk in the calling and the anointing and everything that you've given us. Lord, that it's something unique to us. And God, I thank you, Father, we wouldn't be afraid. God, thank you, Father, for helping us just to do it and do it afraid. Father, thank you, Father, that we wouldn't have fear, but we would trust you in every moment, trust you in every opportunity, trust you as we step out and do things that are bigger than us, things that we don't even know how to do, but we trust you as our teacher. We trust you as our guide and our leader, and we trust you right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for revealing things to these hearts right now. Thank you for revealing yourself, who you called them to be. Thank you, Father, for creating each one of us unique and for a special purpose. Thank you, Lord, that we would just walk in that, and we wouldn't be afraid just to walk in that, and it would be easy. We wouldn't have to work for it or try to do all this stuff. We can just be who you called us to be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' holy name.
Praise God. It's awesome. Exactly right. Well, let's stand. Praise God. It's already 8:15. It went quick. Hallelujah. Well, sure.
Real fast. I was about to jump out of my seat, Kristen. Because I was praying this morning, too, and I was praying about, you know, that God made me like I am, and he knew me. He knew me before he even formed me. And I was praying about gifts and callings. And everything you said, you know, just... this was so spot on to what God was saying to me this morning. And yeah, the gifts and callings are in there. And guess what? They're without repentance. There's no turning away from them. And we can do all these things, and I'm guilty of it. Busy, busy, busy. Not paying attention to the gifts and callings. But they are without repentance. There's no turning away from them. They're on the inside, and we need to follow them. I came up for frustration one day, and I think it really stems from that. You know, I'm not really doing some of the things I know I should be doing. And again, you know, I'm not going to be condemned for that, because that's a trap too. But, you know, there's fear and all kinds of things. But, you know, we can't get away from the things of God, not when he lives on the inside of us. And so, you know, I just wanted to say that.
Praise God. Amen. God doesn't take them back. Once he gives them to you, he doesn't take them back. It's still there. Yeah, that's really interesting. And you're frustrated. And there's the gifts and the callings, and you're frustrated. And there's the gifts and the callings, and you're frustrated. Uh-huh. Might be something there going on. That's a word for somebody. One of you frustrated people. Oh, praise God. Well, let's just give him praise. Thank you, Father. We just take a moment and thank you that you haven't regretted what you've put in us. And you've not only put gifts and callings within us and on our lives, but you've given us the Holy Spirit to help us, to comfort us, to counsel us, to stand by us, to strengthen us, to advocate for us. He's the one that enables all of this to happen. And so we yield to you, yield to the grace of God upon our lives, and we thank you for what will be, what is coming forth from these people in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to remind you, Sunday, School for Life at 9:30. That might be a good step for some of you. We're talking about ministering to people in our class, and it's been really good. And then those of you who haven't finished Abundant Life or Essential 8, Abundant Life, How to Live Abundant Life, come for that. And Sunday afternoon, we have outreach, and that's at 4 o'clock. And that might be a good step for a lot of you. Come at 4 o'clock, have some training, and then be in teams, and then go out for a bit. And so I encourage you to plan to do that on Sunday afternoon at 4. You think, well, I'm not one of those people that do that. Well, maybe you are. You are. You are. It's all about being trained. And if you can share the gospel with a stranger, it's a lot easier to share them with somebody you know. So praise God for that. Well, love you guys. Good night. Yeah.